Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau, broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena in Petersburg, Alaska. Today is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Jesus tells the parable of the generous landowner. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out at about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started at about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones only worked 1 hour, and you have made us equal with them, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This parable of the landowner is one of my favorites because it just gets under our skin like none other. Parables are designed to push against how we see reality and give us an insight into how God sees things. Did you hear that in Isaiah, right? How high above us are God's ways? Higher than the heavens. My brother's satellite has finally reached its first asteroid and it's busy investigating it, pulling into a 15,000 meter orbit. It took 3.5 years to get there. He hasn't seen God yet out there. And so I think God's ways are even a little bit further out. Right, God's ways are so much above our ways. But this parable gives us insight into God's ways. Clearly, this is not the best labor negotiation process. Right, how many people would like to be in this situation? I guess it depends on what time you were hired, right? We'd love to be the hires at 5 o'clock and receive the same wage. Or would we? Here's a little story. I used to ride my bike. I don't like cars. I mean, I use them when I have to, but generally around here I walk even to the post office and the grocery store and load up my backpack with all my groceries and hoof it on back, or I ride my bicycle. And when I lived in Long Beach, California, I had the opportunity to ride to work and back each day. I actually got a map of the city of Long Beach and found the parish where I wanted to go and drew circles around that in half-mile increments and drew circles around my workplace in half-mile increments and then looked for apartments at reasonable distances to those. I was riding my bike to work, and during the summer, I would always see the labor pool, right, our group of immigrants on the corner, waiting to be hired. And the church was right across the street from where they were being hired, and I would ride my bike in and go to morning mass and then go on to work. And you would see the labor pool shrink after mass. A bunch of people got hired right around 7:15 in the morning. There'd always be a few left that hadn't got hired. And I remember seeing some when I was riding my bike home at the end of the day who were still there. But they were doing something really funny. They kept going to the ground and picking up a scoop of gravel and going like this until all the gravel fell out of their hands. And then they'd pick up another scoop. And I'm like, what's going on? I don't know any Spanish, but I rode my bike over there and asked them, ¿Qué pasa? What are you up to? What are you doing? What is this? And so they grab another hand of gravel and they're going like this. And they eventually explained to me that to get hired, many of the guys driving the pickup trucks would look at their hands. If they had calluses, they got in the truck. And if they didn't, they didn't get hired. So here were these workers standing around in the marketplace, as in the parable, waiting, desiring to be working. And they weren't getting hired because they didn't have enough calluses or didn't know enough English or whatever. These people had tremendous trust. I wouldn't get into a pickup truck of some random person who drove by and said they'd pay me $20 to clean their yard. Right? What if they were a crazy person? And so at that point, I started just thanking God for my bachelor's of science and the fact that I've never had to apply for a job. Coast Guard Academy came with job built in. You will graduate and you will serve your country. Yes. Seminary came with a job built right in. You will graduate and you will serve God. Yes. I've never stood in the marketplace hoping to be hired. Lord willing, I'll never be unemployed. Right? Mass will always need to be celebrated. So, young men, go to seminary. We've got jobs waiting for you. So let's look back at this parable, because it gives us an insight into God's ways, which are far beyond ours. Amen? And praise be Jesus and Mary that they are. Because if I was ruler of the world, we'd probably be just as bad off as we are now. Because I don't have the big picture. I would try to be fair, where God is just, and they're very different. It would be fair to pay a proportion of the daily wage to each person for the number of hours they worked. But that's not God's way. God is just. God realized that the daily wage went to feed your family for that day. They were working for their daily bread. All right, how many of us work for our daily bread? I get paid once a month, right? I don't work for my daily bread. It's not like if I don't get paid today, I don't eat. Or if I don't work today, I don't eat. But it was then, and it certainly is for my friends on the corner rubbing gravel in their hands. Jesus tells this parable to set us free from a monetary system of reward and worth, and instead give us a vision of how God sees us as entirely worthy and of utmost value. But I've sat in Bible studies with like-minded Catholics who come to Bible studies, which is a pretty select group, who are arguing for God to not do this. And it's like, what, do you want more wrath? And there were some, well, yeah, as long as it's not directed at me. Because they were worried that what this parable means is that you could come to Jesus late in life and receive all of salvation. And they've been working at it for their whole lives, suffering through another boring homily, ruining another perfectly good Sunday where we could be hunting or fishing, with this interruption called Mass. Right? Because we only do our faith once a week. These were the people who were arguing for more of God's wrath. And I'm like, you guys are nuts. You are totally nuts. I am so blessed to have been a Catholic every moment of my life except for 17 days. And I think God will cover those first 17 days. Right, I was baptized 17 days after my birth, and I am thrilled that it wasn't a day later. I was called to the priesthood when I was 5. Well, it took me till 26 to get to seminary, but I'm a slow learner. But I couldn't imagine living without Jesus. And so think. So yes, God's mercy is huge. And he gives us the daily wage, which stepping out of first century working for your bread is salvation. Right? Can you have a little bit of salvation and someone gets more of salvation? Oh, sorry, you only get 2 hours of salvation while the other people worked for 12 hours. Did you notice their work day? I am so glad I have a master's degree. I have 2 master's degrees. Very rarely do I work for 12 days or for 12 hours a day at hard physical labor, picking grapes in the hot sun. That was their work day. They would get up before dawn and be in the marketplace to be sure to be hired as the sun rose. And because they didn't have watches, the work day ended when the sun set. I am so blessed to have been a Catholic for so long, to be centered in the truth, right? Not to be distracted by the world's affairs, which will come to nothing, right? How many people placed their faith in the Roman Empire? Or the Ottoman Empire. Or the German-Prussian Empire. Or the British Empire. Or the French Empire, the Portuguese Empire. I would even put in there the American Empire. This way that we are doing, when we're in Europe, they're like, oh, you're just kind of beginning as a country, you know. You're only 275 years old. We've been at this for 1,000 years longer than you've been a country. God desires us to be merciful. God desires us to be generous, and he witnesses to that in giving every one of us the gift of salvation. Free. Gratis. Right? All we have to do is accept it. But we have hard hearts that are clouded by sin, and we're distracted from the goal. The goal is salvation. Nothing else, nothing less. The real pity is to not become God's saints. I used to think saints were like the people we put up on walls. Right? You can be St. Catherine. I'm stuck in an icon. But those aren't saints. I mean, they're one kind of iconic saints. But if you go to heaven, you're a saint. Amen? Okay, so who wants to go to heaven? You're not all raising your hands, which worries me. Come on. Big raised hands. I want to go to heaven. Okay, then all of you want to be saints. Because the only way to go to heaven is to be a saint. Amen? Right? Sinners go somewhere else. Starts with H, ends with L. It's really hot. Even hotter than Texas. We don't want to go to hell. And yet, we're driving ourselves there in our sin, in our lack of understanding, in our unfaithfulness to the commandments. What if at your death God said, "Glad you're here. I've got a quiz. Can you name the Ten Commandments and tell me how you've done on them?" Right? Can we name all ten right now? And how well we've kept them? Maybe we go, those are superseded by Jesus' great commandment, to love God and neighbor above all things. Good. How well have I done that? Every moment I have to breathe, every material possession that I attempt to own, right, although I'm only a steward of it, is a gift from God. None of this is mine. None of it. And so I think I'm being generous, right, when I spend my 60 minutes or hour and a half at church. Oh, I've done my God thing. No. Every moment you have to breathe is God's. And you serve at God's good pleasure. And when that good pleasure runs out, you're done. I hope to live to be 83 so I can celebrate the 50th anniversary of my ordination as a priest. But that's not guaranteed. I might die tomorrow or this afternoon. I get to do two funerals in Wrangell this week. Life cut short. Shorter than they expected, obviously. Are we ready right now to meet Jesus? If not, I'd suggest a couple things. First, go to confession. This church will not thrive without you being saints. It's impossible. And if we look at where our church is today, it's because we've lacked the opportunity and the priority of confessing our sins. You know what's coming back in the new liturgy? Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Right? Anyone remember that? Anyone miss that? It's a reality check. I'm humble enough to say that I have sinned. Where do we do that exponentially best? In the confessional. I don't want to hear your sins, right? It's a small town, we probably already know. Everyone's looking forward to winter to see where the tire tracks are and the footprints. No, I want to give you absolution. To set you free, like free and clean at baptism. How often? At least once a month. If we did that, this church would be packed. And we'd have no lack of funds. We'd have to invent other ministries because there'd be so many volunteers. But our lives are clouded by sin. And we think God owes us something. God owes me nothing, right? Absolutely nothing. I owe God everything, and somehow my culture has poisoned my mind to believe otherwise. That's why when we read this gospel, we get grumpy. How dare God be so generous? Right, that lovely line. Are you envious? Because I'm generous. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.